Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
For myself, sitting in Area 51, I'm looking at the news. It's like a madhouse. It's a madhouse. I look at the news. I don't know how to explain to you that I think most of our U.S. Senate and Congress are on drugs. Turn that off, would you please? For example, here's a headline. U.S. missile shield is provocation, says Austrian minister. I'm not implying that the Austrian minister is a member of our Congress. But what goes for our Congress goes for the entire West. We have a corrupt medical establishment, as corrupt as the politicians, willing to prescribe drugs to anyone for anything at any time, for any length of time, without any concern for the long-term, even the short-term effects of this over-medication. And as a result, we have drug addicts running our country and running the West. U.S. missile shield is a provocation, says a minister in Austria. Now, let me ask you something. That would be the equivalent of saying putting in a burglar alarm in your house is a provocation to burglars. Don't you see the suicidal ideation of the West? Don't you understand that this country and the entire Western Hemisphere is subject to implosion and collapse because of the, I'm going to use the word again, because of excessive liberalism, excessive tolerance, because of drugs, sex, rock and roll? Here in San Francisco, for example, there's a columnist of so-called columnist by the name of Nebulous, C.W. Nebulous. And he writes for a once fine newspaper named The Chronicle. This Hearst newspaper has been run into the ground by the worst publisher in the history of publishing, Phil Bronstein. And there's a columnist named C.W. Nebulous. And he's allowed to regurgitate his hackneyed thoughts onto paper. This two-bit hack has praised Brokeback Mountain. He wants affirmative action in sports. He's attacked Michael Savage and took the side of illegal aliens. Of homosexual marriage and benefits for homosexuals. Now this psycho has said that San Francisco needs government-sponsored shooting stations for junkies so the poor drug addicts don't have to worry about using dirty needles. This thing called Nebulous says, quote, it may be time for a bold new initiative, a city-sponsored injection center where drug users could go receive a clean needle and inject themselves in a sanitary environment. In other words, make taxpayers buy flop houses for junkies. You can find this story on michaelsavage.com. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think that we should create shooting galleries for junkies? This columnist, so-called Nebulous, says, quote, other countries, including Switzerland, Germany, and Canada, have used the injection facility concept successfully. Oh, yes, Mr. Nebulous, these nations are incredibly successful. Canada has been so successful that the Islamo-fascists are imposing Sharia law in Canada. Switzerland has been so successful that it has gone from 3 registered mosques to 97 in 20 years. And Germany has been so successful that the 9/11 hijackers use it as their base of operations. Europe is being gutted by the needle and the scimitar. And writers like this, these incredibly empty-headed idiots, want America to follow in their footsteps. My suggestion would be for San Francisco to seize the house of the great writer C.W. Nebulous through eminent domain and use it as San Francisco's first taxpayer-supported junkie flophouse. I'm sure he would be supportive. Or alternatively, C.W. Nebulous's body cavity could be filled with heroin. He could be converted into the first human hypodermic syringe and tested on the posterior of a drug-addicted elephant. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue. Play the music again now. I'll see what else is in the news here. Would you play that again? What, did we go dead here? I'm in Area 51. I'm like, I have sensory deprivation here. There's no lights blinking. I'm getting no feedback. Oh, it's on again? It's not funny. Turn it off. Kill that completely forever. It's summertime. I really don't care who's listening. No one's listening. The owners are not here. The managers are not here. Nobody's in business. I'm the only one in business. Now, look at this. It's getting so bad that poor old Wallbanger on Fox was beaten by Matahari Amanpour. Christiane Amanpour. I don't know what she pours men, but man, oh man, she needs to pour a man an awful lot when they take a look at that mustachio on her. So she does a hit piece on Jews in Israel last night and in support of the Palestinian murderers, and America can't get enough of it. They actually swamp CNN to watch this attack on Israel, and O'Reilly gets beaten by Amanpour. That's really not good for him. That must be killing him. Killing him. And then, of course, poor Wallbanger falls into fourth place. And even Shep Smith, that sad sack loser, beats Wallbanger. That's really bad. People are catching on to the claw hammer. And O'Reilly, they could be catching on to the color green. I mean, what's green done for you lately is the new ad that they ought to run on Fox. Let's see what else is on Drudge. Secret Life of Mother Teresa. Newly published letters reveal 50-year crisis of faith. If I read she was a lesbian, I'm leaving the business. If I read that Mother Teresa was doing a woman, I'm out of this business. I'm quitting. I can't take it anymore. It's warping my mind. I can't do this anymore. Bush says no pullout while I'm president. Well, why should you pull out? Your buddies have never made money like this in history. You make hand over fist. Then you come out and you write a book. You do the tour. You go to Larry King. You do Garlic Breath. You do the whole thing. And what you say on the air is, I didn't really know. I tried. I didn't have a good advice. If I'd only known now what I knew then, I would have pulled out in 05. I wouldn't have gone in. I would have invaded Switzerland instead and tried to seize their drug clinics. Someone told me Iraq was not in the Middle East, that it was in Africa. I knew bad things were happening in Africa. I actually flunked geography, so I thought I was in a different continent. But it didn't matter because I'm a man who sticks by my word. And once I go in, I never get out. But now that I'm out, I can't go back in. So I want to tell you personally, there's going to be no pullout while I'm president, which is what I said in 07. But now that I'm out of business, I should have pulled out when I said that there would be no pullout. Looking back, Larry, I'm very sorry I didn't. And by the way, I'm filling in for Larry two nights from now. Mexican Senate sides with mom deported from USA. Now she's a mom. She's a mom. I love this. They're creating sympathy for this communist. It's unbelievable. Play Sympathy for the Devil before I start smashing screens in here. Play Sympathy for the Devil right now. You don't have it? Okay. Not that. Please. Turn it off. Please speed it up to the part I like. Can you break the forward part that never plays? And I always tell you the thing. Fed injects $17 billion into the market. In other words, they're diminishing the value of the dollar every day. In order to shore up the dollar, they're weakening the dollar. Don't you love this? I mean, you don't have to be a high financial genius to figure this out. If they put $17 billion more into the market, does that strengthen the dollar or weaken the dollar? Tell me what it does. I don't care if you went to the fourth grade. Where'd the money come from? They injected it. What do you mean injected it? Wait a minute. I see the connection today in today's show. A socialist reporter who's mentally ill, who belongs in a padded cell wearing rubber wallpaper, with rubber wallpaper, says that in order to cure the eliminate the discarded needles all over San Francisco from junkies, we should give them needles in injection houses, right? Now we read that the Fed injects $17 billion more into the market. So the show's theme is injection. Okay, we're going to talk about injections today. I have a question for you. If you inject $17 billion into a currency, here's two questions. One, where did the money come from? Answer, the printing press. Okay, the next question is, did that increase the value of your dollar or decrease it? And please, you don't need a PhD in economics from Georgetown to figure that one out. And see, why are they doing this? You have no idea. All you know is you can't make payments next month on the Prius. That's all. Mexican senator. Oh, she has a name too, the commie. Where's her little baby Solito? Who's watching him now? And where's Papa Solito? Where'd he go? Eavesdrops on thousands of foreign calls. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, I would eavesdrop on everybody from England. There's nobody from England that I wouldn't eavesdrop on. They should all be eavesdropped on. Even Churchill's grandson I would eavesdrop on. You can't trust them. You can't. They're no longer our ally. Are you kidding me? When I saw those flowers for Diana, I knew it was a dead nation, a nation of morons. Soil on Mars may contain microbial life. Good. I'm glad. Good for Mars. So there was life there. Oh, the topless Putin. Machismo rules in Russia. Why don't we have leaders who'll take their shirt off? That's what I want to know. Look at Sarkozy, what a flop he is. You know, don't they understand they should wear a polo shirt, something? He's a young man yet in his 50s, 40s. You don't want to show blubber like that. Where's he canoeing? Up in Maine? The Frenchie's canoeing in Maine. And Putin from Russia is hunting for elk in Siberia with the king of Costa Rica. The king of something. I don't know. The king of Monaco. They go hunting. They like to kill big furry things. What is seven? Well, okay, let's go to KXL in Portland. Patrick, welcome to the show.
This is Patrick, yes. I've been listening to your show for about 4 years now, and I know you're number three, and before long you're going to be number one. But my question to you is this. I noticed that you seem to tear apart your competition when none of them do that to you, and I'm just not sure why you have to do that when it's not necessary.
I've heard that before, but let me try to explain it to you again. When a man poses as a conservative and a so-called fellow conservative in the media is attacked by his enemies, the ACLU, the illegal alien mobs, and he doesn't say one word in favor of you, is he not taking the side through silence of your enemy?
Yes, he is, but you know, you...
Well, all right, so what, I know, I should be the bigger person and not notice that, right?
No, you should notice it for sure, and you should put it in the back of your mind, but you
I did. It's going away little by little. I will never forget what these two frauds did to me. By taking their side, by passively not taking my side, by not taking my side, they have passively taken the side of the illegal alien mobs and the ACLU. And I have an obligation as a man in this business on his own. Look, I got to tell you guys something who listen to talk radio and are insistent in your listening and listen to a lot of us. We don't know each other. None of us know each other. It's a very competitive rat race. Do you understand that part of it, Patrick?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, if you see, this is not like a baseball team. The golfer, the wall banger, the leprechaun, and I are not on the same team. It may look that way to those of you who are praying for a conservative revolution, or let us say a conservative prophet to come along and save us. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be deceived on a daily basis by phony conservatives, you're never going to have the man on the white horse. Only by getting a true picture of who's telling you what's really going on are you ever going to get a conservative revolution. I'm going to give you an example. Leprechaun attacked the Minutemen. Leprechaun attacked the Swift Boat veterans. Leprechaun attacked everybody who's conservative and then poses as a conservative. Should I sit here and tell you he's a great guy?
No, you shouldn't sit.
Well, what do you want me to do? I can't sit here and tell you I believe he's telling you the truth. I think he's a giant huckster.
Your listeners are probably more intelligent than any other talk show host listeners. I'm convinced of that. But so I don't think... You need to do.
What you're saying is I shouldn't do it because it cheapens me, right? That's I've heard it before.
In a little tiny sense of the word, it does.
All right. Well, I'll get over it. There, look, nobody is perfect. I got to tell you something, Patrick. Nobody is perfect. I am a human being. If you pinch me, do I not? You know, you've heard that from Shakespeare, right? If you tickle me, do I not laugh? You know that one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you, not you, but in general, if you cast aspersions upon me, I shall return in kind that which you have given me, and I will do so in spades. Patrick, let me tell you something. Nobody in this business gets to be in the top five or the top three where I am by being a nice guy, number one. And number two, I've had a fight for every second of air that I've had. I've had no support from anybody anywhere at any time. There have been impediments thrown in my way as though I were a blind man, they threw blocks in my way. If I were a deaf man, they would have put something in my way to trip over. Let me tell you that. That's the way it works, Patrick. I don't have Fox News behind me. I don't have ABC networks behind me. I don't have giant corporations behind me. I am syndicated by a small independent syndicator, Patrick. I've got to fight for my airtime, and I've got to fight with the truth. And sometimes the truth will hurt, and it will singe people that you like. You've just got to decide what you believe, not what I believe.
I'm a believer in your program.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that you're taking a little bit of this in a negative way, but I have had enough of these frauds. And I'm going to expose the empty golf bag for what he is, the leprechaun for the color he wears, and Wallbanger for the claw hammer that hit him in the toe. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's summertime. What month is this? I don't even know anymore. August 23rd already? Most normal people are in a canoe somewhere. You're not sitting in front of a microphone. You know, what can I do about the fact that Christiane Amanpour should be put into handcuffs and arrested for sedition? What can I do that the government will not close down CNN, just make the signal go blank? What can I do that Al Jazeera is not blown up by the CIA? I could do nothing about it. What can I do by the fact that the city of San Francisco and many other cities like it are infested with psychotics in journalism and in politics, who are always on the wrong side of things, against family, against the church, against the native-born citizen, against the heterosexual, against the Christian, against the Jew? What can I do that the country is upside down? You may as well call the show Through the Looking Glass for whatever it's worth. You know, and this too shall pass, meaning I will eventually pass. This phase of American history will come to an end. One way or the bloody other, it's coming to an end. Either this country goes totally socialist with re-education camps and death camps like the Soviet Union, or we kill the communists and we survive. How's that? Does that work for you? There's going to be a civil war in this country because the leadership has died. There is no leadership. They're a bunch of skinflint, lying phonies through and through. Empty skirts and empty suits sold down the river. They work for the highest dollar. That's why you don't understand what's going on. With one hand, Bush gives you the double talk, and the next morning you go on and listen to Blarney, and you go and you listen to Wallbanger, and you listen to the empty golf bag. They get invited there, and they know it. There's good guys on the right side. The next day you read that Bush employs thousands of illegal aliens. He has not built the fence with the border, and there are more contractors in Iraq than there are soldiers. And you can't put three and two together and come up with five. What you come up with is the red, white, and blue Blarney that the green man wants you to believe.
Savage.
Bare-chested Putin, shooting galleries for junkies at taxpayer expense, says crackpot journalist. White man wins $150,000 in reverse discrimination suit against black former boss who called him stupid white boy, cracker, and pole. Illegal aliens who killed the three black kids in Newark first tried to rape the women and then mutilated the women beyond comprehension with a machete. They'd used a machete attack on the blacks. Thus far, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson could not be reached for comment. They reserve their commentary for white men in the media who they think they can make mileage on. You get it how it works. Let's take your calls, then I'll do all these stories on michaelsavage.com. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's play a new game. Go on to my website and tell me which story you want to talk about. How's that? And then we'll do it that way. Modesto, California. Teresa, welcome. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, the last caller, he spoke that he's been listening to you and when you criticize others, and I agree with him partially. I love your energy. I've become a talk radio junkie. I've turned many females, as you say repeatedly, not many females listen to you. And I do agree, but there's many people I listen to, but I make sure I listen to you almost religiously every day. But when you start getting into, I'm sorry, I can't do the Teddy thing, and I can't do the food thing, but you're extremely informative. There's no need for a college degree if they're listening to you. The wide form that you give, I have a notepad that I keep with me of highlights.
That's nice. No, well, it's very nice of you to say, but you're offended if I attack other hosts, is what you're saying, right?
Not just hosts, but yes, because you get...
Well, let me put it to you this way, and let's clear it up. I've heard this before, but I don't think you understand what it is to be in this business and to put up with what I put up with last week and not have any help from anybody in the business, never mind the other hosts. Nobody in the industry came to my aid, not the publications that publish and live off talk radio hosts. Nobody said, hey, Mike, we're with you. Nobody did. And if you want to know what it's like to stand alone when mobs of illegal aliens are calling for your firing outside your window, and the only people talking about you to the largest extent are your enemies, and your so-called First Amendment colleagues like the golf bag, wall banger, and leprechaun say nothing. They're taking the side of the enemy. Don't you understand that?
But in turn, it is also a lot of times when you get into the deep raves, I have to turn you. And not even to somebody else. I have to turn you off because there's nobody else.
Well, that's your loss. I can't help it if you can't take anger.
No. It's okay to have anger, but I think a lot of times if you would listen to how you
are. Don't you understand that I'm not a woman? Don't you understand the difference between a testosterone-driven male like me and a woman? We're very different. I can't give you FM Bob every day. You know, I'm a mellifluous guy. I can do that from time to time. There are days I'm good and pissed off at the world and good and pissed off at my enemies and good and pissed off at the phonies in the media who pretend to be conservatives. I have to express that to survive in this business. If I'm not like as close to the edge as I can be with everything, I may as well leave radio because there's no way to do it otherwise. There's no other way to do it. Otherwise, I'm faking it. Let me give you a, you say you write things down. Write this one down. You ready for this, Teresa? If I am not for myself, who will be? If I am only for myself, who am I? That was written in the 12th century by a scholar, a religious scholar. I've carried that around with me all my life because it taught me that it's okay to be egotistical and carry your own interests above all others at a certain point, but not solely your own interests above all others forever. In other words, if I am not for myself, who will be? The answer is nobody. You see what I mean? Primarily, you have to be for yourself. But then you say, if I am only for myself, who am I? Meaning, if I'm only for myself, then you're not really a great person. You're just a narcissistic, self-centered person, and you're not giving anybody anything. So, yeah, it's great to be self-driven and self-protective and all of that. But at a certain point, you can't be only for yourself. That's all.
That's why I do listen to you, because you tell the truth, and you tell it without...
All right. If I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? Thank you for the... for the call and listening. Denver, Colorado. Carl, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I want to say something to Patrick and the nice lady who just called in. Nice is not an indicator of any sort of manhood, truth, or value, Patrick. Nice is just nice. It's on the outside. That's it. One indication of the value of Savage's savageness. Pastors, Mr. Savage, used to be as strong as you are in this nation right now. Years and years ago, and that's why this country was great, because they would
lead. Right. We once had men who spoke the plain truth. They said the buck stops here and you counted on them, guys like Harry F. Truman, even up to Dwight D. Eisenhower, and then something happened after the late 50s. The country has degenerated into a pack of advertising, public relation, and utter rubbish coming out of the mouths of leadership.
Now pastors, they use, now they receive suck from the government.
Let's not go down. Now we're going to get sophomoric in our shooting galleries for junkies. So there's a guy here, C.W. Nebulous, who took the side of the illegal alien socialist communist drug addicts last week against me. Now he's saying, in order to solve the problem in San Francisco of used hypodermic needles thrown in the street, in the park, where children are stepping on them. And this is happening, by the way. They're hiding it from you. They want you to come to the city and buy lobster and crab. But the city is a dirty cesspool. It looks pretty on the face of things. You want me to be nice and be a PR ad about San Francisco? I can do that, too. Oh, Mike, why are you exposing the underskirts, the dirty underwear of San Francisco? Mike, we own restaurants. Be nice or the tourists won't come. Mike this, Mike that, Mike my behind. I have my business to worry about. You go sell crab on Fisherman's Wharf and leave me alone. The fact of the matter is this mayor sucks. He's a deceitful phony through and through. And the supervisors are backstabbing vermin, every last one of them except for one who stood up for the First Amendment, not for me. They're the scum of the earth, and they come from San Francisco's worst families. That's what I believe. And when I say worst, I mean in terms of character. It doesn't get any worse than taking your position of authority and stabbing a man in the back for political gain. Don't then come and do the Goomba thing with me the next day, that we're all in on the same thing. They're all frauds. So now you got the writer here saying that the way to get rid of the needles in the city is to give them more needles for free in injection centers, but they do it in Switzerland, and therefore it must be good. You know, there's another cure for the junkie problem in America. It's a real easy cure. They use it in Malaysia. You ever go to Malaysia? I was shocked when I went there 15 years ago. Driving in from Kuala Lumpur Airport, there's a gigantic billboard that no one can miss. And you know what it says? Using drugs in Malaysia is punishable by death. You know, and when they enacted that particular law, they had a very low drug problem. It's a Muslim country, and it's a moderate Muslim country at that. I never had any problems there. I always liked Malaysia, other than a little food poisoning and nothing to do with the government. The fact of the matter is Malaysia is a wonderful country, but they crack down real hard on junkies and drug dealers and drug smugglers, and consequently they control their problem. There are other ways than giving each one an injection shot and a new needle. You know, you could give them like 30 days to clean up or we're going to shoot you. How's that? We'll give you 30 days and anyone who's caught using heroin will be executed by the government. No, I'm not suggesting that. After all, I'm not from China. You see, you know, in regions of China, they still do that. Whether you know it or not, it's not legal to use drugs in China. I don't know if you understand that, all of you China lovers out there. It seems that you choose, you selectively choose what you like about China. You like their economic system because it's communistic, you liberals, but what you don't like is their toughness when it comes to crime. But if you look into the whole picture, you'll find out that in certain regions of China, they really don't have a drug problem. What they do is they kill the drug dealer and they execute the junkie. They don't give out injection needles and they don't create injection centers. This is stupid. It's insanity. Total insanity. What's this? Hate it when Savage attacks a Prius? Wait a minute. Am I seeing that right? Let me take that call. Debbie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. You are my hero. You actually keep me sane while I work. I'm a hospice nurse in Western PA.
All right, now give me what you don't like.
I go crazy when you rip on the Prius and call us all tree lovers, tree huggers.
Oh, come on. Hey, let me tell you something. I figured something out. I broke the code that no one in America did. It's going to be stolen the minute it comes out of my mouth. You ready for this?
What?
Now, what company makes the Prius? It's Toyota, right?
Toyota, yes.
Okay. They have the most brilliant marketing people in the entire automobile industry. Do you know why I say that? How do they come up with a name like Prius? You don't know what it is. What does Prius mean?
I never looked it up, no.
You don't know. But do you know why you relate to the word Prius as an American? Because it's consonant with the word pious. And many of the people who buy a Prius believe they're acting in a pious fashion by driving a Prius. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I understand.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Only I could figure these things out. It's why you listen, most of you. That's all. Bush put on spot, where's the fence? Despite $800 million in funding, only 18 of 854 miles were completed. Maybe Halliburton got the contract to build a fence, and they thought they meant the fence in Iraq to keep out the Iraqis or something. I don't know. To only let in the Iranians. I don't know where they built the fence. Where's the money? Feds to try deporting 60 gang members. They were committing crimes that Americans wouldn't. How's that for a headline on MichaelSavage.com from San Diego? The illegals were committing crimes that Americans wouldn't. You hear this? Like slashing people with machetes, you know. God, what else is on my website? The Mexican Senate says we need to quit deporting their illegals because it's inhumane to make them live in Mexico. I love it. Hey, the Mexican Senate is an oxymoron. I mean, when you say the Mexican Senate, it's oxymoronic to say Mexican and Senate in the same breath. But let's say there is a Mexican Senate. Let's ask these distinguished gentlemen from south of the border how they treat would-be invaders from Guatemala and El Salvador into their sacred land of Mexico. And ask them how their federales treat anybody who's migrating across their country illegally if they don't get a schmear or a payoff. Did anyone say limbs are cut off by machete by the federales? That didn't make it to your local news, so it's not real? It's a lot of things going on in the world. What else do you want to talk about? Modesto, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, buddy, I love your highs and lows, man. There's nobody else out there like you. I used to think there was something wrong with myself until I started listening to you.
Well, right. The human condition is one of highs and lows several times a day. Just like a tide comes in several times a day and goes out several times a day, moods go up and down. Only in America and the West have we been brainwashed into thinking we're supposed to have one consistent humdrum feeling from morning till night and no dreams that scare us. Because otherwise, you need medication. Go see Dr. Whackjob.
That's right. And Rusty talked on your behalf for 3 hours.
Rusty's the greatest. Laura did too. Laura Ingram, two good people. They're the only ones in the media who have any character. I'm going to say it like it is. I mean, what do you want me to say? They were my friends when I needed them. They did what they had to do, and they did it. They didn't have to do it, by the way. They did it because they're good people. Thank you for the call. I'm glad you like my fluctuating temperament. Haditha Massacre, media and terrorist hoax. Remember now, you gave over $250,000 of your own money, maybe $300,000 by now, to the U.S. Marines falsely charged with a massacre in Haditha. I will not rest until the last of them are exonerated, and until the prosecutor loses his law license, he is stripped of the Marine Corps and put in jail for what he's done to them. And moreover, until Tim McGurk of Time Magazine is hunted down by a division of the U.S. government and tried for what he did to these men, I won't stop. I will not stop. Tim McGurk of Time Magazine did this to our U.S. Marines. The United States government, to show its credibility, must hunt down Tim McGurk after our Marines are exonerated and do to him what was done to a D.A. Nifong. And I will not rest until the Durham dirtbag is charged with the false accusations. How come she skated? Answer, there's a triple standard in America. That's all. I don't feel the verb out there, the vibe out there today. Play some jazz. I'm in more of a jazz mind. Do you have anything by Coltrane? Like any Coltrane would be good. Any jazz. There you go. You saved me the nicotine. God. And you're listening to Pure Genius on the saxophone. Unless you understand how good this is, you can't understand how good I am. All right, thanks. That is so good. I mean, you hear the number of chord variations until he got into the high speed version of what he was trying to say with his horn. And right now, I'm still in my early phase of the chord variations of today's program. But so far, the only thing I've given you of any interest and value, from my point of view, is my observation that the Prius is derived from the English word pious. Now, I was riding with my good friend last week. And he called it a pious by accident. He didn't know that he was making a mistake. And it dawned on me that he absolutely had it actually totally right. And I said, wait a minute, you're calling it a pious, and that's why Toyota called it a Prius, because the do-gooders who drive it think that they're doing something that is pious by driving a Prius. We had a laugh. That's all. Play Coltrane again. You know, just for a second. I'm going to drive them a little crazy. Again from the same spot? No. You got to pick it up from where? No. The way the show works is you stop it somewhere and you pick it up from there. See, I don't have the control. That's the control I need. That's the control I need to do a show. Otherwise, it's like one giant hemorrhoid on a merry-go-round. That's better. Now we're riding the horse up and down, up and down, up and down on the merry-go-round. We've got the movable horse. Did you ever feel like a kid who got on the merry-go-round and there were stationary horses and moving horses and you picked the stationary horse and you cried all the way around? And then when your mother got you off the merry-go-round, she said, why are you crying? You're saying the other kids were on the horse that went up and down and I got on a horse that didn't move and she didn't know what to say to you. And then your whole life was like that. You got on a stationary horse and all the other kids were on a horse that went up and down. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Carousel for this late August day. But the metaphor is quite good. Can they hear me, or is it the garbled and distorted? Play it another minute, then we'll shut the music. I know there's people over 30 can't follow the two. All right, kill it now. I always hated merry-go-round music. It made me depressed. You know, my metaphor is pretty interesting, which is that, okay, life is a carousel. There are horses that move up and down, and then there are those that are stationary. Now, some kids jump on the up and down horse, and they ride that carousel, which is life. and they have a good time. They know how to do it. The other kids pick the wrong horse. They're on a stationary horse, and that's it. Their life is boring. And then there's other kids. One needs his mother to hold him on a stationary horse, and he cries the whole way around. Then there's another kid who needs to shoot horse while sitting on a stationary horse to go around the carousel. Then there's another one who needs to move to a Menclaw, Washington, and do something else with the horse to go around, and et cetera. You could do it. You work with it. Work with it. Be creative. Create amongst yourselves. It's summer. It's summer. So play that music. Play the merry-go-round. I'm so good at things when I do them. I don't like the music that much, though. Get it off. Get it off. I'm in Area 451 now. I came in here today, and it's abandoned. It's an abandoned, nothing here but a great radio studio. So now I'm like bringing salad in, Greek salad, turkey sandwich, one can of Rockstar, one can of Diet Coke, one water, vitamin C, a thing of coffee. But there's no mattress in here. I got here very early, and I wanted to rest. I always have to rest before a show. I got to go in a dark room. I learned this a long time ago. I learned it from Chinese factory workers, where they shut their eyes for six times a day. They close their eyes and put their hands over their eyes. You can't, because the brain uses 20% of all of your glucose at any time, and your eyes, being the biggest absorber of user of energy in your brain, need to be shut down several times a day, particularly if you do a lot of work with your eyes and, you know, very fine print or whatever. You can't believe, if you do this six times a day, go to a complete blackout wherever you are, how much stronger you're going to feel at the end of a day. I've been doing it for years, but I've gone beyond that, where I go in a dark room and shut everything down. I don't care if I don't go to sleep, just dark, dark, dark. I had no mattress. I searched the house. I found an old exercise mat, dusted it off, and threw it in a corner. And here I am. And I'll be back from Area 51.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, here we are. It's the Savage Nation from Area 51, undisclosed, hidden location, still watching my own back. Ultimately, that's the only thing you can do is watch your own back. I have a friend. I can't even tell you that, can I? Can I tell you that without you getting offended? No, you'll take it the wrong way. Let's go to the callers. So I think out loud. You'll have to forgive me for thinking things through. Sometimes I can't say certain things. And I say, Mike, come on, you got us interested. What were you thinking? I have a friend who is a highly decorated combat veteran from Vietnam, and I'm very proud to know him. I didn't serve in the military, and that he did, and he's a war hero, and he respects me, is really important to me. Okay, that's all you got to know. So he told me that one of the primary rules after a firefight, and they're nasty, he said, really nasty business, is that you never leave a battlefield with any wounded behind you. He said most Americans don't understand that. And he said, that's the utter horrible reality of combat. Now, he said, compare that with Iraq, where they're not even allowed to kill the enemy in a frontal firefight, let alone after they leave a scene. That if they actually blast the enemy in a frontal firefight, they're liable to go into a court-martial. He can't believe what's going on. And he knows, and this was a man who understood the war from the beginning, was for it, rather. He understands that it's all got to do with the commander-in-chief, who is fundamentally the worst commander-in-chief in the history of this country. And don't think I'm the only one saying it, or that only liberals say it, or socialists or communists. Some combat veterans are saying the same thing. You know, get it clear in your head that never in American history has a war been fought in this way, which is why we're losing. And we are losing. Make no mistake about it. You know, you can argue the surge is working. in some areas. But in the overall big picture, we've lost already. And the reason we've lost already is because we haven't won already. You can quote me on that. The reason we haven't, the reason we've lost in Iraq already is because we haven't won already. Quote me on that. Do me a favor. Portland, Oregon, August. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to say I like your rants, your raves, your rages, your lamentations. I'm particularly fond of your lamentations because I lament.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't rant and I don't rave. I do have lamentations, though. There's a big difference between the three states of mind. Ranting is one thing, raving is another, and lamentations are yet another.
There is. You're very varied.
I'm very buried?
Buried. You're very.
I'm very buried. Buried. B-E-R-R-I-E-D.
You're emotionally versatile.
Oh. Have you ever been married?
Yes, I have.
Could you live with a man like me?
Yes, I could. Because I'm a
Are you sure? But yeah, you're a lot like. You think that a woman who goes up and down could live with a man who's very emotional?
I think a woman needs to be a bit more level than the emotional man, but I'm pretty level-headed.
That's interesting, but you see, now, this is a great topic unto itself. I'll tell you why. The stereotype is that the woman is emotional and the man is rock-steady. And what happens if the opposite is true? Does that make one less than a man and the other less than a woman?
No, that's the way the Creator intended it.
Yeah, we're all different. We're all different. We all have emotions. Some do, and some are more emotional than others. And it's not limited to what your particular sexual birth sex is. You know what I'm saying?
It's evolutionary.
I don't know. I mean, why suppress your emotions? I don't understand where this came from, that you have to be this you know, like humdrum, consistent, you know, consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Emerson wrote that. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You do. You see, so you have a literary, I mean, you have some literary background. Consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. And unfortunately, in the American media, consistency is the norm, not the exception. It is the norm. They are all consistently the same every day. It's an act. And I find it to be the mark of little minds. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I am not consistent. It doesn't mean that I'm inconsistent intellectually or inconsistent politically. It means that I'm not consistent emotionally.
Much of this consistency is coming from drugs, and I think what you're talking about pertaining to the AMA is very vital.
Oh, most of the consistency is coming from drugs. I am so glad we started this down this road together. Yes, they declared that inconsistency is a mental illness or a mental disorder, and that any person who's inconsistent should see a doctor. Then they go to the quack who has the degree to write him a drug, and the quack says, take this. And you won't be as inconsistent. In other words, you'll become like a robot.
Yes.
Well, and you know, that's why there's so little creative thinking in government and in the media, because their creative elements are being turned off by these psychoactive drugs, whether it be Prozac or Prozac-like compounds or whatever they're putting them on. It's killing their creativity.
Say though that for some time there's always been an awful lot of displeasure with bureaucrats. I mean, even Dostoevsky used to carry on about the Russian bureaucrats, that they were nightmares.
Yeah, well, whoa, now you're on to something even better. You're a brilliant woman. And what happened in Dostoevsky's time, the bureaucrats had become all-powerful and imperious and insulting. Shakespeare wrote about it, you know. So what happened as a result of that bureaucracy that became too rigid? The communist revolution followed it, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Okay. This country is very close to some form of revolution. In fact, it's actually in the state of flux of a social revolution right now, only it hasn't yet been defined. The people have lost total faith in government. They've lost almost 100% faith in the church, almost 100% faith in the media. What do they have faith in? Tell me what they have faith in. That's what I'd like to know.
Have faith in themselves, and drugs is helping to undermine that.
Well, you're right. You're really pretty good at this. You and I could talk for a long period of time. What are you professional in any manner, or are you just well read and well thought out?
Well read, well thought out, self taught. High school grad.
The best kind. The best kind is the self thinker. The rest of it is brainwashing. Take it from someone with many advanced degrees. Bachelor's degree, master's degree, master's degree, PhD. Proud of every one of them. Worked very hard for all of them. But the most brilliant people I've met are not academicians. They're just not. They're just not. I'm always amazed at how the uneducated person sometimes can floor you with an insight.
Yeah. But you have
now, let me ask you, August. I don't know how to do this in another way. If I sent you a Savage Nation hat, would you take it as a personal affront, or would you take it as a personal? Would you accept that gift?
Oh, I'd like it, and I'd put feathers on it too, because I'm.
Why feather? What do you mean feathers for like a dream catcher hat? You'd make it.
Well, I might wear it. I'm Native American.
I knew something that was up here. I knew something was up here. How old are you?
I'm 44.
Well, you and I have a lot in common, and I'm not Native American. I mean, I'm born in America, but I'm not a Native American in the sense of descended from people of Indian blood. You know, I'm Native American by birth in terms of geography. But your people were here for 20,000 years. It's a big difference. How do you feel as a person who is of that heritage with regard to illegal aliens? Do you have the same feeling that I do about them, or do you have sympathy for them?
No, many of our nations have the same feeling very much.
That what? That I do? That they should not be permitted to overrun this country?
Yes.
Well, why is that? In the sense the white man overran your country, so haven't you heard that argument from the agitators within your own reservations?
We weren't too crazy about that happening either.
All right, so what you're saying, it's interesting, what you're saying is sure, the white European came and overran your land, killed off your leadership, enslaved your people, etc. That's a given. It's a fact. But you're saying you don't want it to happen again with the illegal aliens now.
No.
That's what you're saying, more or less. What tribe do you descend from?
Many nations, but primarily Plains people.
Mm. Well, you and I could sit for a long time and just talk and talk and talk. You remind me in some ways, and I don't mean this in an ageist way, of my grandmother, who I had the best conversations with when I was a young boy. If I got a kite string, if I was trying to fly a kite and that string got tied up in a ball into a knot, you know what I mean, not a ball of knots, I'd go to my grandmother, and she would sit with me for how long it took to pull that kite string back until where it wasn't in knots, you know what I'm saying? And she would talk with me about many different things. And by the time that kite string was unraveled, everything in the world made sense to me. That's how I just feel talking to you spiritually, August.
How beautiful. How beautiful. Yeah. What a nice...
How is it that I, as an American boy not of heritage, can speak in, of your heritage, can speak in such pictograms that reach a person of Native American heritage? If you try to figure that out, how can I speak in so many different ways to so many different people? What is that? Where does that come from?
Shall I tell you?
Yes.
Well, according to our people, and this goes way, way back to the most ancient Bible times, there was a time when we were all over there together around Lake Baikal. Many of us were over there, and that was the area of Eden. I could talk to you further about that. We know about what happened in Eden, and we used to get into trouble for talking about it to the missionaries, but yeah, I'm from descent that talked about that long time ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get the back of my head's getting a little bit of the hair standing up kind of feeling. You ever get those?
All the time.
You know, the years I spent in the Fiji Islands, I go in and out, I was obsessed with the islands, the South Pacific. Now, how did a boy from the Bronx, instead of becoming doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, businessman, real estate developer, whatever, I spent many years of my life obsessed with folk medicine and went in and out of the islands. Primarily, my biggest bond was not only with the Tongan people, but the Fijians primarily. Now, Fijians, as you know, are black people. Now, here I am, a white guy. The first time I enter the Fiji Islands and go upriver, across a river, everyone's black. And as a guy from New York, let me tell you something. It was an intimidating feeling, but the reaction of the people was totally different than anything I'd ever seen in America. There was no racial enmity. That's the first thing. But as I got to know the people, and I would drink, many nights I'd sit and drink Yangona or Kava Kava, and we'd sit and talk in a circle. And I've said this just the other day. My dear friend Domenico from Fiji would say to me, Michael, the men are saying in Fijian that they think you're Fijian. Because at a certain point, I think that we leave our face and our soul is exposed. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Well, I try to do a little of that on this show, August. I try to tear the face off things and expose the soul of not only arguments, but the soul of people and the soul of a nation that is bleeding.
Yes.
This nation is bleeding right now. It's bleeding like a stricken animal. And there's only so much of happy face you can put over a bleeding animal. August, I really could talk with you for the next hour. And you know what? Maybe we should talk after the break. I don't know where I can go from this. Would you like to continue this dialogue and see where it leads us?
Well, may I just write to you?
Yes, it's probably better that we break off at this time. So, August, I'll tell you what. You break off. You give the guys your email or whatever address, and I'm going to send you a Savage Nation hat. All I ask is that you put feathers on it and send me back a picture, and I'll put it on the website. Would you do that?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. You stay on the line. We'll get your email address. I'll be right back. Savage. I really enjoyed that last conversation. I hope that you didn't get too bored if you're a regular listener to not even understand what we were talking about. I mean, the truth is that talk radio is about talk. And what is talk but conversation? What is conversation? Converse with verse. And we're trying to, you know, listen, when you think about the miracle of ideas and how they're transmitted from one person to another, think of the power of transmitting an idea through words. And then think of other ways that you transmit ideas to people. You can do it through love. You can do it through a touch. You can do it through a painting. You could do it through a sound. You know, you go on through the whole litany of what human beings do to communicate. And then come back to talk radio. We have nothing at our disposal except our ideas and our voice. You don't know me. You can't see my eyes. You can't see my gesticulations. You can't smell me, so to speak, which we all do, by the way, no matter whether we know it or not. We are scenting the other person while we're talking with them, because we have never really lost our animal instincts on some level. And so what I'm getting at is, it's truly miraculous that I can connect with millions of people on a daily basis, and I can connect with an individual from another culture, as I just did. I think it was beautiful. It's amazing to me. And to me, that's the miracle of communication, and more of the miracle of radio. And I don't think radio has to be, even a political show, has to be all about politics every minute or whatever. Tampa, Florida. Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thank you for having me on. I love the symbolism of your anecdote about the merry-go-round. I feel like I'm on that politically, and everyone that you can pick right now is just going the same. You know, they're all leading us down the wrong road. And I look at you, and I see you as the one horse that's going up and down. I
But, all right, I'll be your hobby horse if you want.
Thank you.
It's a good metaphor. It is a very good metaphor, but better than the politicians is the metaphor of a merry-go-round of life, and whether you're on a movable horse, and then there's a kid whose mother has to hold him while he's crying all the way around, and then he substitutes a wife for a mother, and he's still a crybaby, or substitutes a psychiatrist for his mother or his wife, and he's still a crybaby, or he you know what I'm saying, and on and on and on, or he's shooting horse. The metaphor works. It holds up pretty good. Thank you for the call. So let's apply the merry-go-round metaphor. If Hillary Clinton were on a merry-go-round, what would she be doing on that merry-go-round? Would she be on a movable horse? Would she be on a stationary horse? Would she be – if George Bush were on a merry-go-round, what horse would he be on? A stationary horse, a movable horse? Would he be the horse? Would he – be the leader of the merry-go-round, or would it be the kid with the pimples who pulls the levers and makes the merry-go-round stop and start? How about that kid? How about the circus geek who runs the merry-go-round? That pimply kid who can throw your kid to the floor by stopping it too fast? What do you want to talk about? We can go anywhere right now. I'm at the halfway point. Did I love this halfway point in the radio show when I used to begin, when I began the beginning of radio. Yeah, I love that. Because I knew it was the turning point. Things change right now. Now you come in and out of the tent. I know a lot of them leave. An hour and a half's enough. I'm leaving. Then a whole new crowd comes in. And some diehards don't leave they kill to hold on to the wooden chairs in the tent.
Savage.
Good This is a Savage Nation. You know, I'm going to talk about different things today. Last night I turned on NPR, and I got sick listening to the Attorney General of the state of California, Jerry Brown, who I supported, by the way, going on and on and on with deception about global warming. And he had the nerve to say that there's not one peer-reviewed study which refutes global warming. I really got very angry because I expected more from Jerry Brown than that. And I'd like to invite him on this show, and I'd like to show him several hundred peer-reviewed articles. I don't know why he's saying this. He's an intelligent man. And to come up with rubbish like that is shocking. But then, of course, the guy at NPR didn't debate him at all. And I would have said, you know, Governor, I mean, whatever, Attorney General, let me tell you something. You're an intelligent man. So let's put aside Al Gore's lie for a minute so you don't fall into the same sand pit. But Jerry Brown, let me tell you something. The most recent and the most important study on global warming came out about 6 weeks ago. It was done by an international multidisciplinary team. They drilled 1.2 miles into the core of the Antarctic ice shelf. They withdrew the plant and animal life, the DNA of the plant and animal life that lived at that time in history, and analyzed it, Mr. Brown. And guess what they discovered? They discovered that the Earth was much hotter millions of years ago than it is today, based upon the DNA evidence, the DNA remnants of the plant and animal life that they removed from that Antarctic ice shelf. Now, how did they get away with this? How does the big lie get promulgated? Because what Jerry Brown was suggesting was that he has to gain control over the whole economy in order to stop global warming. Now, he's not alone on this. Schwarzenegger is in the same league as him. They're both ignoramuses when it comes to science. They know which way the political winds blow. And simply, they're just blowing hot air out of their mouths when they tell everybody what they seem to want to hear, which is that, oh, yeah, global warming's bad. Yeah, we all got to turn off the light bulb. Yeah. What are you guys talking about? You know, it's embarrassing to listen to this. It's damn embarrassing. And I'll debate Jerry Brown or Arnold Schwarzenegger any day of the week on this topic on this show. Any day. It's an open invitation to actual scientific discussion as opposed to political diatribes on the issue of so-called global warming. It's a great topic. We'll see if we can get any of them to respond. Something tells me they won't. WOR in New York, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Mr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak to you. I listen to your show regularly. And I always wonder about your show. That I find it different than any other show on the radio. And I've always thought about what is the different part? What do you have different than O'Reilly, than all these other hosts on the radio? And what I realize is the format of your show is totally different than any other show on the radio. In fact, if you were not around and I would go to a radio station and pitch them your format of a show, they would say it would be a complete failure. Yet your
okay,
show,
wait, so what is the format? How would you describe the format of the Savage Nation?
The format of the Savage Nation, what is for me is constant change. Constant excitement. We go from boating to the dog. We go from the dog, which is cute, to Bush, not unknown what he's doing in Iraq. And, you know, we all know what's going on in the news. I mean, we hear it on television, on
right.
radio. You
right.
make it entertaining. It's so we are getting the information, but we're also laughing as well.
Good. That's part of my intent, because if I couldn't laugh at some of the things going on and I couldn't expose the foibles of these liars, I wouldn't be in the radio business. You know, that's the object of the media, by the way. It's not to support the government. It's to ridicule and expose the government. That's how you keep them in check. You know that. You probably have emigrated here. Am I right about that?
Yes. I came from Romania almost.
Yes, but the day we become just lapdogs of the government, as so many of them are, we lose our freedom.
100%, Mr. Savage, is, to me, what the bottom line of your show is that you're not looking at the ratings. You're not looking which way do I go that I get more ratings. You're looking at issues that is affecting every. In fact, you are talking about Christians. I'm a Christian, and you are talking about issues.
That's right. That's right. The church has been totally neutralized in the United States of America. If it was up to me and I could lecture 1,000 pastors, I would tell them, don't avoid the issues of homosexual marriage. Talk to your congregation about it. Don't avoid the issues of homosexuals having sex in public restrooms in Fort Lauderdale and threatening the city that they won't go there unless they cater to their sick lifestyle. Talk about how sick that lifestyle is so the children know which way to turn. Don't avoid the issue of junkies. Talk about how evil heroin addiction is and that they're not victims, but they themselves have victimized themselves and they should be looked down upon, not held up as victims. They're victimizing us because we have to support them. That's what a pastor used to do in the United States of America when they had a moral compass, my friend.
But Mr. Savage, the problem with the pastors is they're weak. They're not strong. Because obviously the biggest challenge us Christians we have in today's world is the sexual purity, which most of them are not. And when you're not living pure before God, there's no possible way you can raise your voice and talk about how homosexuals are destroying their own lives, how they're ruining their own lives, when they don't have the ability in themselves to control themselves because of the society we live in today. We're in chains. We're not free people, even Christians. They're not free in this country. That's nonsense. And that's what the problem is.
Well, that's right. When the pastor refuses to be the voice of conscience and tell it like it is and talk about the truisms of our life and what the negatives are and what the positives are and how to guide your children and shelter them from the evil influences, then there's no reason to take them into a church.
But they have a battle against them, Mr. Savage. The bottom line is, I am a Christian. I try to live pure. But every single corner that I turn myself, there is something that will try to lead me to something perverse. Everywhere.
Yes. You go. Absolutely. Everywhere you turn. Every time you turn the television on, it's the devil's workshop. You said every night I turn it on and I search for a movie. And if I find one, within 5 minutes, they've lured me into a room of sickness.
The bottom line is there's so much garbage in our society peddled out there with products that we, you and I, cannot be free. We cannot escape. In fact, it's almost impossible to live a pure life as a pastor, as a Christian, with all the stuff that's being thrown.
That's right. And I'll tell you that right up front. Absolutely. I'm not a saint. I don't lead a pure life. God knows I struggle every day in an attempt to be a Boy Scout, but I don't make it through the day without violating some tenet of the Big Ten. I mean, I do the best I can. But I learned how to live with that, John, and I learned it from Freud's writings. And there's one line that I got to tell you about. You know, the great psychiatrist Sigmund Freud, right? You know who I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Freud wrote, and he was out of favor for a long time because the Lilliputians came along, and they could never conquer the great man himself, other than by first saying he didn't know what he was talking about. He was antiquated. Well, the fact of the matter is he was one of the greatest geniuses of all time. And what Freud wrote, well, he wrote so many things, but the thing he wrote that stuck with me apropos of this conversation is the following, which is that if one day you awaken and find out that one arm and one leg is all you have, he said, then learn to crawl on one arm and one leg. And he meant that psychologically. And many of us crawl on one arm and one leg. We've lost the other arm and leg along the way.
Yes, but the question is that we need few men out there that would stand up, let alone everyone is crawling around. Somebody that would stand up and say, you know, having a Victoria's Secret show that's like pornography in front of kids and married men is wrong. Having all these movie stars parade in half naked and destroying our families is wrong. Having homosexuals taking young kids and screwing them up because all of a sudden they have two daddies and two mommies is wrong. Using emotions to take people's money and abusing them is wrong. Parents who are neglecting their kids and spending more time at work and on television and not spending time with their kids is wrong. No one is coming out. People like O'Reilly are just taking out the whip. They're whipping people around, but they're not dealing with the issue. And they're not talking to the people and say, hey, you got to wake up. Your kids will be destroyed. You are destroyed. This kind of thing will destroy you.
You're right. You're 100% right. And I think what you're defining here is some of my enmity towards these guys, which is their moral ambiguity. They will not take positions that are hard because they know they're going to alienate a certain segment of their audience. And so what they do is they take on issues where they can't lose, like attacking a judge. We all want to attack a crazy or a morally ambiguous judge. You don't lose with that one. But when you start attacking politicians, what you wind up doing is closing them off to you, and you can't get them on your television show. And if you're a guest-driven show, that's a disaster for you. So what does that do? It tells you not to attack politicians too strongly. And as a result, you simply become a mouthpiece for politicians. And as a result, you're no longer an independent voice. That's what you're also saying, isn't it?
Absolutely. The bottom line is O'Reilly and Sean and a lot of these hosts on the radio, they are playing both sides. They want to be conservative. They want to have all the listeners you have, but they also want to be and rub shoulders with famous politicians to make sure we don't offend them. And it's not an honest way. That's why you're alone. I'm sorry to say that, Mr. Savage. You are alone.
Well, I know my own family tells me I'm too blunt. My own family tells me I'm too blunt. They try to stop me sometimes from what I say. Even on this show, they say, you know, enough is enough. Ease up. You don't have to take on the whole world every day. So I said to him, look, when you get in this ring, you have to fight with everything in you every day for 3 straight hours or don't go in that ring. Nobody really understands what it is to be inside this verbal ring. This is a unique situation. And the fact of the matter is that everyone has a different style of functioning within this verbal ring. Everyone has their own way of doing it. I have my way, and I can only do it my way. I can't do it the other guy's way.
Well, you know, it's a totally different, and I think...
Let's go to something more topical. You're a guy who's offended by the moral degradation of our society, and you're a Christian. What do you think about Vladimir Putin posing in this macho way? Have you seen the pictures?
You know what? I've not seen, but... It's amazing that...
Well, he's seen fishing with his shirt off. He's in pretty good shape. He's a judo expert. He rides horses. He skis. He's a middle-aged man who's in good shape. Why do you think the Russian leader can pose in macho pictures while our leaders totally hide their masculinity behind these Humpty Dumpty suits? What do you think that's all about?
You know...
All right, let's let it go. That's for another time. John, let me send you a free copy of my DVD, The Freedom of Speech Award. I think you're going to get great. Do you have children?
No, Mr. Sepp. I'm single, but I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
I tried for a long time to start my own radio show on Salem Radio, and it's a Christian network of radio stations, and no one would give me a chance.
At this point, we have to take a break because I cannot advise you how to get into radio. That's the last thing I could do for you or anyone else. Stay on the line, though. I'm sending you a free copy of the DVD. And the reason is there's no lesson I can give about radio, none whatsoever. I know this. I know that some of the people in radio today who are very successful, if they were not in radio and they sent out a demo tape, they couldn't get one affiliate. I'm telling you like it is. They couldn't get on one station, and that's the fact of reality. But they have the distribution now. And that's why they're on. And God bless them for being able to stay on the air. That's their genius. I don't know how to explain it. My job is not to attack others in the business. My job is to tell you what's going on and to be as I said to you, the job of a talk show host, or really the job of anyone in the media, is to be an attack dog, not a lapdog. They have forgotten that in the media. They make nice to Obama. They make nice to Hillary. Every day they make nice to this one. And every day they make nice. And the people don't buy their papers anymore. And they don't listen to them on the major news anymore. And eventually Fox is going to go down that road because they're becoming increasingly like the mainstream media, even though they're a lot different in some ways. They're a lot the same in some ways. And that's the story. So there it is. Now we'll move on. What else do you want to talk about? Merry-go-round, Italian food, certificate, blah, 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 blah. Canadian taxi driver loves merry-go-round. Self-taught man, ex-pot head. I want to go for the ex-pot head agrees with Savage Go when I return right here.
Savage.
The one and only Savage Nation, broadcasting live from Area 51, hidden location. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. How many days can I look at Obama and Hillary, and how many years is this election going to go on? I feel as though I'm living in the ex-Soviet Union, where they're putting on an election for years and years and years because nobody cares anymore. Albany, New York. Dave, you're on WGY up in Albany. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you? Listen, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I agree with you regarding marijuana addiction and really all drug addiction. But let me just tell you a quick personal story. About, I'd say, 10 weeks ago, I gave up after 30 years of addiction to marijuana. That
also, how long? Wait, how long ago?
About 10 weeks ago.
Oh, you're in the infancy of kicking that one.
Yes, I am. But I'll tell you what, I really think I'm through with it once and for all, and for various reasons, both spiritual and physical.
Let me advise you. You're not. You have yet to feel the claws of Mary Jane, and I don't want you to get the feeling that you've beaten her, because Mary Jane is the most, in some ways, the most addictive of all drugs.
I understand what you're saying, and I hope I'm never put to the test, and I'm avoiding everybody I used to hang out with.
Well, that's number one. But you're going to get cravings that you have to learn to deal with, and you need someone to help you with it. Marijuana is one of the most addictive of all drugs. It's the most dangerous of drugs because it's a gateway drug, and it also stays in your system longer than you may think because it is absorbed by the lipids, the fat cells, and it stays in your system for a very long period of time. And I'm not arguing that one should drink, but alcohol is a water-soluble drug, meaning it's absorbed in along with water, and it's excreted along with water, while marijuana is absorbed and is held in the lipid cells. So you're going to have it in your system for a very long period of time. The problem is that how you're going to deal with the cravings. That's the real challenge. But then the big thing is you have to get rid of all your friends, the potheads. You got to get rid of them.
Yes, I would agree with that. I haven't had too many cravings because I've been very much interested in physical physical activity, and that's what I've substituted.
I see. All right, so you're substituting the high of running or whatever and the endorphin release that you get from the exercise, I assume, right?
Yes, exactly. I wanted to make one point, though. You had a caller who was a CPA accountant who was in the same delusional space that I was in. Thinking that you could get away with such activities, that it didn't hurt your family, that it doesn't hurt you, that it doesn't hurt your career, that it doesn't hurt your ambition. I have to tell you, I totally agree with you. It is totally evil. I still, after 10 weeks, am coughing the black coal dust of the resins that
Just
I...
Just let's put aside all of the moral implications or the societal implications of marijuana. For years, I've been trying to educate America that marijuana smoke per se is more toxic than cigarette smoke. You've heard me say this for years if you listen to this show. It has more carbon monoxide than cigarette smoke, and yet you rarely hear this. Who in the media could talk about this but me? Nobody. And I don't know why they don't. Why don't they take on marijuana? What did that become? You know why they won't take it? When have these boys in the media who are so-called family values talkers talked about the dangers of marijuana or drugs? They don't do it at all. Why is that? That's because many of their listeners are sold on the medical benefits of marijuana or are on drugs, and they don't want to offend them either. So, you start looking around and you start to see the truth here. I wish you luck with this, my friend. I have nothing more I can say about it. Play the merry-go-round music here as I go out of this hour, because we're going to come back to more call. Here's what I want to ask the 9 William list. Turn it off. I have 9 women listeners to this show, between 9 and 20. Of the 10 to 20 million listeners I have of the show, there's approximately between 9 and 20 women who listen at any one time, because it's mainly a male-dominated medium. As you know, only white males listen to this show. At least that's what the enemies of talk radio will tell you. I want to ask the women who listen to this show, who listen to me for years, and you know me more or less how I am now, my rages, my depressions, my ups, my down, my moods. Could you live with me? Do you think you could live with Michael Savage on a daily basis? You want to hear some callers? Because you're going to get them. The women are going to call now. I want to hear what they have to say. And this is going to be so raw, it's going to be shocking.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We move into this phase of the program, still broadcasting from Area 51. And we were talking about, I don't know, topics of the day. God knows what we've talked about. Some morons in San Francisco are recommending that they create injection centers for junkies. And I talked about another way to go with junkies, which is stop coddling them and start taking on the approach of Malaysia. You know, get a little tougher, like a lot tougher, and stop telling everyone who's a drug addict that they're a victim. The only victim of drug addicts are the taxpayers who have to support their habit, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't know how we got to it. I spoke with a woman of Native American descent, and we had a long talk. I spoke with, I don't know, one person. Now, there's a different kind of dialogue going on today because it's late in August, and maybe I'm in a different kind of mood, or maybe I've changed a little bit. Who knows why? And so you'll start to attract a different kind of clientele to your talk show. And then I raised the kind of preposterous question at the end of last hour. Because somebody said to me that they don't like my moodiness. Then someone says, I do like your moodiness. And I started to get a lot more women calling. And then I asked this question at the end of the last hour, which was, women, do you think you could live with Michael Savage? Now, you don't know me, but could you live with Michael Savage? And that's the question that we're going to talk about with some women right now. So let us go to the callers. Let us go to, I don't know where you want to go. Here, let's go to Mississippi. Let's start in the South. Kay, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, good evening, Dr. Savage.
Go ahead. Could you live with me?
Yes, definitely.
How do you know?
I feel so connected to you.
But, well, what do you mean by connected?
Well, I listen to you every day. I have a commute to work, and I listen to you every day, and so many times I'm just kind of worried about something, I've heard on the news, and you explain it in a way that makes sense, you know, and I can understand things. And
well, you're a Southern woman. I'm like a Northeastern guy. I mean, don't you think there would be a cultural or linguistic differential between you and I?
Well, actually, when I first started listening to you, I thought so, but the more I listen, actually, your ideas are so much like mine.
Do you see, now that's what I've been trying to get across, which is that the people who listen to this show actually listen to this show. And they don't come into it sort of prejudging, saying, oh, there's a guy with a New York accent. I don't really care what he has to say. I know what he has to say before he says it. That's more or less what you hear from bigots. Liberals today have become the bigots who prejudge everybody by either their accent or their skin color. And that's what I've discovered. So have you been unlucky or lucky in love?
Very lucky. I've been married 33 years this coming Friday.
Well, that leads me to the following question. You've been living with the same, you're in love for 33 years, but you say you could live with me?
If I didn't want in love for 33 years. I
mean, okay, well, you're able to detach from the reality of your own life and get into the radio world where we're dwelling right now.
Right. I only had one difficulty with that. When my husband was looking at my cell phone where I have my numbers in there, and he
yes.
said, exactly what is Savage?
Well, wait a minute. You don't have the, you mean you have the 1-800-449-8255 number on the Savage?
I did, in case I wanted to call.
And what'd you tell him, that you know some Savage on the other side of town?
Way on the other side of town, yeah.
Way over on the other side of the universe is where you know Savage. Kay, you're a good sport. Let me send you a Savage Nation cap, because by the time I get through with this show today, I want to see another 20 women wearing the hats backwards or putting them on forwards and pulling a ponytail through the back of the cap. Stay in the line. We're going to send you a Savage Nation cap. I like this. And then we'll move on to topics. That's all. Give me the next woman. Light up the next one. Here's one who can't. Oh, Tammy, Ocala, Florida. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Ocala, Florida. I love your opinions. Don't get me wrong. And, I mean, you're just like my grandmother. She passed away at 95, and she just told it like it is. And I think your opinion is so strong and your belief is, like, so strong that I couldn't argue with you. I'd probably ask you, do you want lasagna? And you're going, no, I want something else.
So, hard-headed, you know, people are not easy to live with is another thing that we're talking about. And moody people are not easy to live with, Tammy. Most of the time, they want to be alone.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. For me, I'm a strong black woman, but I think by your strong opinions and I mean, because everybody wants every black person to be a Republican. You know, it's like,
well, sure, they're trying to get the vote. They're trying to swing you over to their side, and they're all saying, we got something for you. I mean, you got to decide who's telling you what's real true here. I don't know who has anything for anybody anymore. The more I look at the political structure, I don't know if anybody has anything for anybody but themselves.
And, you know, I got to say this. The NAACP, Jesse Jackson, all of them, if it's not benefiting, trust me, they don't want any part of, if they don't make them look like a HNIC, as you want to say, they don't have anything to say. You know, they just lay back. They don't have anything to say. Then they say, Michael Savage.
Well, that's why I'm sending you, stay in the line, I'm sending you a Savage Nation hat today, too. I'm not going to do a whole hour of this. I want to just hear what the women have to say. Let's go to Kaney W. in San Fran. Sicko, Rena, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, my God. I love you, Michael Savage. I just moved to the Bay Area. I was born and raised in Kentucky, and I worked in TV for 6 years in L.A., and I've now become an Orthodox Jew, and I just interviewed at a radio station in San Fran last week, and I told them that I love Michael Savage, and I haven't heard back from them since.
Well, you didn't interview at our station, KNEW, did you?
No.
The others are jealous because I've beaten them all into a pulp, fair and square, and they don't like that. I mean, it fluctuates up and down, but the fact is that I'm the leader in talk in the Bay Area, and they don't like that at all. They want to pretend I'm not. So what are you looking to do in radio, Rena?
I was looking to get good callers on the air and come up with hot topics.
Oh, you mean you're looking to be a producer?
Exactly.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Oh, my God, you're too young for me.
I am in with my husband, and he is encouraging me to call you. He adores you. I adore you.
My father bought all of your books.
My father.
I love you guys. You're so nice. Yeah, but you better not tell him you love Michael. If you're going to look for a job in the Bay Area, the last thing you want to do is tell people in the radio business that you like my show. What you should tell them is you never heard of me. And if they mention me, say, oh, him, he's horrible. Then they'll hire you in a minute.
I'm from the South, and I'm real, and, you know, I don't sugarcoat things. I used to work for Jerry Springer also.
Oh, my God. You're a young one who's done a lot in the media. He's a real high-class human being, Jerry Springer.
He is.
Yeah. he's a real top of the heap in humanity. He's probably done more to degenerate the American mind than anybody I know of.
He's genius.
Oh, yes, he's a genius. Oh, yes, the forked tongue operates very well, believe me. Rena, I'm sending you a copy of my DVD, and I wish you luck in all of your endeavors. How's that for politics? Oh, goodness. Here's one. Gloria's in Los Angeles on 8:30 a.m. on the dial. Gloria, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi. I love you. I've listened to you for a long time, and I believe that I could live with you, and I could also die with you, because you make it okay to, you know, not be 100% up all the time. And even when you're feeling down, you're 100% comfortable in your own skin about it. And that makes me feel good.
Well, what can you do? What choice do you have other than to be comfortable in what you're feeling? What choice do we have?
Well, it's just that all my life I've been brought up to, you know, to hide depression and feeling bad and having negative.
Oh, yes. Depression was considered there were years ago you wouldn't talk about divorce, cancer, depression, homosexuality, you name it. Today people talk about everything that they feel, sometimes ad nauseum. But I hear children in the background. You have children or you take care of them?
Oh, no, I'm waiting for my sister-in-law. She works at a nursery school.
And what do you do?
So I'm in my car listening to you from 3 to 6.
No, but I'm saying, do you work? What do you do for a living?
Jobs. I'm in between jobs. I'm 50 years old. and I've been looking for work, and a lot of times I get up depressed. I go to bed depressed. And
That's good. That's a sign of intelligence. What are you supposed to be happy about this world? Overrun by illegal aliens. Junkies are considered victims. Shall I go down the list? The perverts are considered role models. The moral Christians are cast into the pit with lions verbally every day by somebody in the media. There's an awful lot to be sick and depressed over.
No, Michael, but you know what? You have made me a better person, but you've also ruined me because I'm looking for a nice man to marry because I don't want to live the rest of my life alone, but they can't measure up to you, and so I'm having a hard time finding someone.
Oh, you're using – yeah, but you don't know me. Remember, I'm a figment of your imagination. I'm a radio voice. I'm going to help everybody with this right now. Did you ever read the book Miss Lonely Hearts? Do you know – go and find it. Miss Lonely Hearts, I forget who wrote it. God, I read it so many years ago. I believe was a radio voice. And many people were in love with him, I think particularly women. And in fact, when he appeared in the theater, thousands of them tried to beat their way into the theater. And it's a great story. But at the end of the day, it's an illusion. You understand what I'm saying, Gloria? You're reflecting on your own illusion about me.
No, it's not an illusion. I won't believe that. I believe that you are who you are. On and off the radio, and that's what I love about you.
All right. Well, as long as you get something out of this that's worth listening to, you may be one of the 20 women listeners around America. Gloria, I'm going to send you a free copy of, well, I guess for you it would be the one where I'm in it, which is the DVD of Michael Savage reading his Freedom of Speech Award. You're going to love it. There's a change of suits, a change of ties, a change of location. It's actually quite a good little video production. So get Gloria's address, send it off to the office, and we'll send it on to her. Well, this has been interesting. We can move on. We can talk about nebulous thinking. I'll read you some of the headlines. Here's the headlines. Bush put on spot. Where's the fence? Despite $800 million in funding, only 18 of 854 miles completed. Well, Bush dad said, read my lips, no new taxes. You could say that Bush Jr. said, read my lips, no new fences. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I actually combined two books in one. I was thinking of something that hasn't even been written. There was no book written about a talk show host who has, you know, thousands of women maul him at a theater. I was thinking of Nathaniel West, who wrote Miss Lonely Hearts, about an advice columnist. And then there was another book I think West wrote called Day of the Locusts. You see? Get it? And I somehow, you know, combined the two in my head into some fantasy of my own. But both of them are very interesting books unto themselves. I read them in college, I believe. Anyway, back to there is no news of the day. What news of the day? Now, Mother Teresa had fantasies. I don't even want to go there. I'm telling you, if I hear that she was, I don't even want to hear it. How do they come up with these things? Now they're trying to destroy her name, too? Is there nothing that they won't touch and destroy? Is there nothing that the vermin in the media will not touch and destroy? You know, they are the devil. They're the devil. Now they're saying that Mother Teresa had doubts. How do they know that? How do they know? They found her writings. Now tell me she was secretly gay and going to lesbian nightclubs at night. It's unbelievable to me. I'm sick of it all. I'm sick of the media. I met a guy in the media who's, when I first started locally, he's a very nice guy. He does a medical show. He said to me that he has as little to do as he can with people in the news business and the media. I said, why? He said, take a look at them. They're the people who've destroyed America. And, you know, the more I thought about it, I said, he's right. The media has destroyed the mind of this country. Altoona, Pennsylvania. Laura, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, how are you? I think your question about living with you, I listened to you for about 4 years now. I believe
right.
that I could, I would have an affair with you, but I couldn't live with you. You're too much like myself. I don't want to say unstable, but I'm very, high and low in my
yeah.
emotions. And
right.
I don't know how my husband can stand me half the time. I kind of feel bad for him. So. I think we'd be too much.
Well, all right. You're being very, very honest about yourself. Does he know that you go through these mood swings?
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Does he tolerate your jumping the fence every once in a while?
Yeah, he does.
He does. Well, you're lucky, I'll tell you.
I guess.
Yeah, but it creates a resentment under the surface that can never be healed. You know that, Laura.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Because even if he does tacitly accept what you have to do to survive mentally, underneath it all, he feels sickened by it and hurt by it and humiliated by it. And the resentment seeps out probably in 1,000 different ways, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. It's terrible. I feel bad sometimes for the way I am.
Well, but then you're going to get guilty. And then, there's the cycle. Then you get guilty. And then you get into that mood that you're not be able to control yourself because of your guilt. Then you're going to go do that again. And then the cycle starts again, right or wrong?
No, you're right. It's I don't know what to do. I don't know.
Well, I know everything. That's the problem with me is I know too much, the man who knew too much. The fact of the matter is there is a cycle that you're in. And if you analyze what makes you run out to have an affair or a quick one-nighter with someone, it's usually something that triggers it. Wouldn't you say that if you look back on it?
Oh yeah, I never did anything like that to him. Oh God, no. I'm just saying, well, you know, if I wasn't with anyone and or whatever, yeah. You know, just
well, good to keep it that way. Keep it that way. He's got his hands full. I can tell you that. I'm not even sending you a hat. 1-800. No one expected that. Ooh, that was a close call. Who's next? This is fun. Do we have a young woman out there? Kate on WOR in New York City. Welcome to Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm 26, and I'm a huge fan. I think this is really hilarious because it sounds like a dating game show, and I'm just laughing as I'm listening to all of this. I think it's really
well, funny. It is somewhat of that, and I can't say that it's not fun. It really is. I'm bored to death of the news, so you'll have to forgive me for flirting with my audience.
Just talking to my fiance, he said he got me onto you, but we're saying it sounds like you know.
Oh, now we're finished. Now all the guys are going to turn the women off and say, "Wait a minute, he can't do that." It is the Savage Nation. Listen. Rigoletto. Pardon me. All right, stop for a minute. Let's not get too highfalutin there. It's liable to scare the guys off with the pickup trucks and the gaps in their teeth. Do you have the one where Rigoletto the clown comes in? That's the one I like the best of all of the arias ever written. It's the one I love the most when he gets those high notes and he breaks down into the laughter that verges on insane tears. Do you know that one? That's so beautiful. Can you dig that up? Here we go. Listen to this. Oh, God, it's so good. Anyway, it's so unbelievable to listen to a human voice like that. It moves me every time I hear it. The range of emotion that a man is capable of, and, we're going almost all the way back to the beginning of the show, what we're talking about here. The range of human emotion that's been so shut down, it's as though the, what's the word I'm looking for? What used to be inside a camera, before they became digital cameras, there was a the iris of a camera, the iris of an eye. As a kid, I would sit and play with the iris of the mechanical camera over and over again, open, close, open and close. And the range of a human being is like that, the diaphragm inside a camera or the lens inside, the diaphragm inside a camera. We don't use our emotions anymore. Most of us are afraid of our emotions. Most of us are conditioned to believe that emotions are our enemy. Most of us have been trained to believe that if you have emotions, you are weak. And unfortunately, many of us have been lied to by the medical establishment into believing that we should drug away any feelings that we may have. I have the exact opposite approach to all of these things. To me, I have found the only way to survive is to go into my emotions and live with them and deal with them. And, I mean, that's really what we're talking about in a little bit of a way about this radio talk show. This is not just about politics. It's also about emotion. Because you cannot take the man away, the emotion away from the man without killing a good part of the man. And then you're just going to wind. What are you going to wind up with? Tell me what you're going to wind up with. What kind of show are you going to have? Information, you can get that anywhere. Opinion, you can get that anywhere. Discussion, you can get that anywhere. But you have to inject the human being into all of this. Now, having said that, and I didn't think it would lead us to this, but it is. The article comes out today from Time Magazine about Mother Teresa's crisis of faith. Now, before I begin, it was not written by an anti-religious liberal who was trying to tell you that they're all phonies. It was written by someone who was very close to her, and it was written not only by somebody close to her, but somebody who loved her very deeply. But I'm not going to read you the whole thing. This is an amazing insight into her. She says, Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and the emptiness are so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. Mother Teresa to the Reverend Michael Vander Peet, September 1979. And then you read, you know, she's the Nobel Peace Prize winner for her work as a charitable human being. And you read on, and here's what she wrote herself. She says, the silence and the emptiness are so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer but does not speak. I want you to pray for me that I let him have a free hand. And then she says that she doesn't know why she can't feel anything, and she's in such pain. And no one knew this, and she said she was using her smile as a mask. And I'll go on. I'm talking about Mother Teresa. In more than 40 communications, many of which have never been published, she bemoans the dryness, darkness, loneliness, and torture she is undergoing. She compares the experience to hell, and at one point Mother Teresa says it has driven her to doubt the existence of heaven and even of God. She is acutely aware of the discrepancy between her inner state and her public demeanor. The smile, she writes, is a mask or a cloak that covers everything. Similarly, she wonders whether she is engaged in verbal deception. She wrote, I spoke as if my very heart was in love with God. Tender, personal love, she remarks to an advisor. If you were there, you would have said, what hypocrisy? Now, the Reverend James Martin, an editor at the Jesuit magazine America and the author of My Life with the Saints, a book that dealt with far briefer reports, says, I've never read a saint's life where the saint has such an intense spiritual darkness. No one knew she was that tormented, recalls another editor of her papers. And it says, the book is hardly the work of some anti-religious investigative reporter who dumpster dived for Teresa's correspondence. And you'll read on and on, and there. So she was in agony. But to me, that tells me that she really was saintly, that she didn't really feel she was connecting with God. To me, that's the very proof that she was. That's how I, from my religious experience, that's exactly how I see it. See, I know God exists, but I've never met God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I can relate to this kind of shocking agony that she's talking about. And it doesn't deny the existence of God at all. I think God is silent. See, I distrust people who tell you that they met God in the living room and is wearing a white cloak. I mean, like the Jimmy Carter God kind of talk, to me, is so fraudulent, it's unbelievable that they saw God in the living room with their grandmother and they shared a corn muffin. See, I don't buy that. I believe that we have to live. You know, God is silent. Let's start with that. But is he silent? Well, let's go to those every song that's ever been written. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, I know why I believe. You ever hear that one? What is that all about? And unless you've been touched by a baby's cry, unless you've been touched by a leaf that moves, unless you've been touched by a puppy's lick, unless you've been touched by this or that, then you don't know God. You can know God through those things too. It does not have to come through prayer alone. That's what I'm getting at. And sometimes the act of life itself, the acts of life itself are prayer. That's the thing that was missing in Mother Teresa. If you want me to like try, I'm not trying to like get on top of where she was at. But from my point of view, I don't believe God needs us to be in agony all the time in order for us to know God. I think she was missing another depth to herself because she was a nun and because she was denied so many of the sensual things of life. She was in hell. She lived in a hell of her. She was living in that hell. And that's the sacrifice that nuns make for God. And it's the sacrifice that many people make for God. But it's not necessary for the ordinary human being. You don't have to try to be a saint In fact, you shouldn't try to be a saint. You should live within the animal body that God gave you. Make no mistake about it. You're not going to be a saint no matter what you do. If you're not reminded of that at least once a day in your private moments, I don't know what will remind you that you're not a saint. None of us are a saint. You know, we all do certain things that remind us that we have an animal body, albeit we may want to seek the spirituality of a saint. We're trapped in an animal's body. And that's an important thing to remember, because then it permits you to enjoy the sensual nature of your animal being. You understand? And there's a part of you that's a pagan. No matter how spiritual you may be, there's a part of you that's a pagan. And the day you accept that and stop fighting it, the less crazy you'll be. That's another little piece of advice I'll give you. The more you fight with that animal self, the more crazy you're going to become. And the more you live with the animal self and start to enjoy breathing and eating and sitting in a chair or whatever you do, take a deep breath, man, because, you know, this is not a rehearsal. This is your life. You got to get comfortable with being who you are. And you got to get comfortable with the fact that you're finite. You got to get comfortable with after many a summer dies the swan. And you got to get comfortable with the teaching of Don Juan. You got to get comfortable with the fact that death is with you all the time, everywhere you go, sitting in the passenger seat. You know, I mean, look, I have read so much and so widely and been through so many things that I incorporate all of this into what I bring you today and every day on the radio show. Many of you understand that and appreciate it, and many of you don't. Many of you don't like it. Many of you just simply want me to talk about meatballs or the dog or politics, and I can do that. But now I'm not in the mood today. I don't know how I got here, but here I am. Why I'm in this particular frame that I would stumble upon this Mother Teresa thing is amazing to me. But faith in God? Tell me what human being hasn't thought about faith in God in their lifetime and come to some conclusion or other. Either that God is real, God is an imaginary thing, God exists, God doesn't exist. They feel God when they pray, they don't feel God when they pray, they feel God when they do other things. I mean, how could I tell you that everyone has to come to their own conclusion? Here's a woman who worked with the sick and became sick herself from working with the sick. You know, and she's an amazing woman. It's funny how many millions of human beings Mother Teresa touched, even touched my mother. My mother loved her, and I didn't know why. I had no idea. My mother was touched by this woman's compassion. When she told me that late in her life, she said, oh, something kindly about Mother Teresa, and she never discussed religion with me. Truthfully, she had an undying belief in God from the time I was a child. That's all I knew. Without discussing it, it was not intellectual. It's not an intellectual love of God or feeling of God. She just told me God existed and showed it to me in so many ways, even through the pain that we experience. God talks to us through the pain as well as through the good things and the bad things. That's all part of it. It's terrible for you to understand that, but, you know, many of us don't want to hear it. We want to think that it's all happy talk and happy smile and every minute's going to be good, and every minute isn't good. And what are you supposed to do when every minute isn't good? Curse life? Curse God? Or live with it? Well, how about stopping complaining for 2 minutes and realizing that what you have is paradise compared to what most people on earth have? That sort of helps you. And then when you really want to get down and dirty, think about the men in Iraq right now. Think about what they're living through. 140-degree weather, not knowing if they're going to be in one piece the next second. Hated at home by half of the scum in the universe here in the American media, who set them up for a fall and then say that they love them, you know, with a cynical smile. You want to know what hell is? There's hell right there. You don't have to talk about hell in the next world. There's hell in this world, and it's the guys over in Iraq who are living that hell. And for whatever the reason, that's what they're doing. Okay, but there are other hells. How about the Christian children and women in Darfur who are being slaughtered every day by the Muslims who are taking their land and taking their water resources and trying to convert them to Islam? You want to talk about hell? Talk about that hell. But don't complain about your little ups and downs, that you went for a photo shoot and they told you to go home, or that you went to buy a pair of shoes and boo-hoo, they didn't have the shoes you wanted, or that you couldn't get the heroin you wanted at the treatment center, or your needle broke in your arm. You know what I mean? I put things in context. Think about what human beings are capable of and what they live through. Well, you want to really get into it? Let's get down and dirty with this one. Take a look at the next construction site you see being worked on in this country, and look at the Mexicans who are working at that construction site in the heat. You want to know what hell is? Do you know what work is? You don't know what work is. They know what work is. That's work. So don't think I don't see with these eyes. As I speak with this tongue, I see with these eyes. I know what hard work is, and I know who does the hard work, and I have the greatest admiration for the men, legal or illegal, who are working like this. That is not my problem. They are not my problem, the ones who work like this. God bless them. I admire them. It is the welfare state. It is the bringing in the relatives who live off the welfare state. So you want to work this out, then work it out from the top down. But don't think I'm condemning people for their hard work or the country of origin or the color of their skin, because I am not. Now, I don't know where this came from, but there it is. So I know that's where it all came, ended up with, wherever it came from. Let's take a couple of callers. I'm sorry for digressing. Jacqueline, W-O-R, go ahead, please.
I think I would have no problem living with you. I think you're the epitome of goodness and what used to be normal. I love that you're so in touch with the human condition, and your principles and character are something that you just don't see today anymore. There's no...
The human condition. Maybe I should rename it from the Savage Nation to the human condition.
Oh, that's not fad either.
the human condition, I don't think, would work as well as the Savage Nation, Jacqueline. But I know you're a regular listener and caller, and I appreciate you hanging on. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty late in the East Coast. What's the weather there right now?
It's overcast, and it's about 70 degrees.
You had a cold spell in New York, though, didn't you?
We did, but now I think that's going to leave us for a few days.
And what happened? Where was Al Gore during the cold spell? Was he in the Carnegie Hall giving a speech on global warming?
He was on one of his Gulfstream 5s, maybe.
Yeah. Well, actually, he flies on – you got to give Gore credit, because I have flown on planes he had just been on and spoken to some pilots. He doesn't necessarily – he flies on little planes, too. They like him. You know, he's probably a very nice guy, I'm sure, and probably believes in what he says. I don't think he really understands that he's not a scientist, and that he may not even understand himself that he doesn't know all the facts. That's what I'm coming to believe. You didn't know that there's such a compassionate side to Michael Savage, did you, Jacqueline?
Yes, I've been listening to you long enough, yes. I think you're a very fair prayer.
Would I be a better talk show host if I was more like I am today on a regular basis in your mind?
I don't think
I don't know. I couldn't. Maybe tomorrow it'll be another day, you know. Jacqueline, thank you. Keep Jacqueline on. I'm sending her a copy of Healing Children Naturally. She can bring it to her pediatrician. And when I come back, you're going to go on to michaelsavage.com. And in the last segment, you're going to ask me to talk about any of the articles you see up there that I haven't gotten to. I'll be right back.
Savage. Du hast mich. Du hast mich. Du hast mich. Du hast mich.
Denn du bist der Tod, euch scheidet, treu dir sein für alle.
Welcome back, all you saints and sinners. This is the Savage Nation. The many moods of the Savage Nation. I think they remember, okay, they had enough of the heavy metal. Look, the fact of the matter is there are two sides to a moon, and there are many sides to people. And what I'm trying to get at is the media presents itself, as it probably has to, in a singular fashion. This is me. This is my face. This is my voice. This is what I look like day and night. This is who I am. And I suppose that's the format. And that's what it is. I don't. Because this is a long, grueling job, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Talk radio is something you have to live and you have to live with. And the listener lives through it with you. Now, I'm not giving anyone tips, because I've heard guys try to imitate this, and it's a disaster to listen to. Many imitators have tried to talk, oh, I went to a restaurant. They shouldn't do it. I've heard them. They close the show talking about their house or where they went to eat, trying to do a little mini Savage. It's a disaster. It makes the toes in my shoes crawl inside the shoe. I can't wait to get off. I don't know why they're doing that. It doesn't work for anybody else. You can't copy this. It's impossible to do this unless it's me. You got to do your own thing. If you want to give me advice, don't. If you want me to give you advice, unless you're talking about radio, how do you do radio? Don't try to do Michael Savage's show. It won't work. You know, like a lot of guys try to copy various people in the business, but don't try to copy me. It can't be done. As they used to say, you know, God broke the mold when he made me, and that's the end of the story. I'm an original, I'm talented, And that's the way it is. Now do your own thing. If you're an original and you're talented, do your own thing. Use your own origins and your own talent. But for God's sakes, oh, yeah, well, okay, imitate in the beginning, imitate what you want. But sometimes it doesn't work. You need the right cultural background and the right psychological background to imitate people. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about it. Well, it's late summer, so things happen in a different way. It's been a lot of fun down here in Area 51. I will be moving to another hidden location shortly to make certain that my back is not only covered but not covered. And that's the story. That's the world you have to live in today if you tell the truth. But I don't think it's been different than any other time, to be frank with you. I think that all through time, truth-sayers have always been in danger because there are a lot of people who make a lot of money and have a lot of power based upon the opposite. So on that pleasant note, I will remind you that satire is a very important tool for those of us in the truth business. And unfortunately, the liberals who are humorless, because all Marxists are humorless, in fact, the greatest sign of a Marxist is humorlessness, or in fact, the greatest mark of any kind of dictatorial personality is humorlessness, as you well know if you've lived with one. They have no humor, and they don't even understand satire, sarcasm, and such. So on that pleasant note, I will soon be back from another location somewhere in the United States of America to both have fun with you, educate you, maybe be sad with you, get emotional with you, have some hope with you, and all around just do good radio. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.